welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McAravey of the News Tribune. And, Kyle, we are ready for another season, kind of an earlier start for the Tigers than usual. Got a Thursday night game to kick off the season this year.
Yeah, it should be a fun environment. Get to kick off under the lights on a Thursday night right after all the students got back in town. Yeah. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, we can talk about it a little bit more later on, but it's you know, theoretically a way to ease your way into the season. We've got Louisiana Tech as the opponent, so theoretically that should be a nice way for kind of Missouri to kind of get its feet under itself and kind of get the season rolling, theoretically.
You would hope so. You got to, you know, especially when you're taking on the SEC schedule, you got to take advantage of those non-conference games as much as you can.
Absolutely. There is a ton to talk about this year. I'll let you decide. Where do you want to start first with our Tigers? Because we've got, I mean, literally there are so many different things that we could talk about with this team.
I think probably the most important spot, you know, the number one most important position in all of sports, the Missouri Tigers are replacing their quarterback.
Yeah,
you know?
Brady
Cook is a sophomore. He led the Tigers during the bowl game loss last year. The loss wasn't really on him. He looked pretty good overall.
Right.
But he'll be taking over as the full-time starter, won
sure.
the job in camp over a couple other guys who had potential to be the starter. And, it, you know, from what I've heard from receivers especially, they're pretty confident in him, and it looks like he's been playing pretty well through camp.
I was going to say, we kind of probably could have, you know, said that was the way it was going to go at the end of last season going into this season. So, I mean, is there any surprise at all, or was there kind of just a kind of a foregone conclusion that that might be the case, or was it that he did have to go out and actually win it because he was, you know, he had to prove that he was better than the guys that he was competing against?
You know, there were probably a couple of guys who were considered as part of the race who didn't have too much of a shot, like freshman Sam Horn. He was a four-star recruit coming
right.
in and part of an incredible recruiting class for Missouri, but you're probably not going to go to a true freshman when you've got
sure.
the amount of guys around. Tyler McCon probably had a pretty legitimate chance, so I would say Brady probably had to legitimately beat him out, and there was a real competition between those two.
Yeah. You know, you kind of mentioned it, and well, we can go back to the quarterback if we need to, but you know, that recruiting is something that I, you know, at least social media-wise, just keep seeing a ton about in my timeline. It's just, it seems like I'm not even searching it out, but, you know, you can't go very far without somebody just pointing out, you know, Tigers are recruiting, we're getting this guy, we're in the hunt for this guy. It does seem like, you know, as somebody, I don't necessarily always follow, you know, kind of the off-season stuff, the recruiting stuff, just because so much can change and so many decommits can happen. I'm more like, let's see who gets to campus and then we'll worry about them when they get there. But it does seem like this has been kind of one of those years where we've got a ton to talk about with the Tigers.
Sure, absolutely. I think, I don't remember the exact number, but I'm pretty sure they were rated in the top 15 in the country
okay.
for recruiting classes this year, the highest rated class in Missouri history.
Right.
And of course, you know, as the transfer portal becomes more and more a thing, maybe
sure.
recruiting classes matter slightly less than they used to.
Right.
But still a very good sign.
Still a good place to start, right.
Great
yeah.
place to
yeah.
start. And
yeah.
Missouri brought in, like I said, Sam Horn, a four-star quarterback, very highly touted. He's one of a number of four-stars they brought in. And, of course, the highlight was Luther Burden, the number one rated receiver in the country out of St. Louis,
yeah.
choosing to come, stay in state, go to Missouri.
I was going to say, that's the big thing, too, is that you're starting to hear more about, you know, Missouri's always done a good job of recruiting different pockets of the country in certain places. And it's always been, I mean, since, you know, I mean, I've been in the state since, you know, 88, and it seems like it's always been one of those things where you're never going to get all the recruits you want from the state, and you're never going to be able to lock down the borders, but you constantly hear about that. We got to lock down the borders. We got to make sure the talent stays home. Easier said than done, but it does seem like it's getting a little bit easier to do that now.
And I think they did a great job of it this year. They've got, excuse me, a receiver room that's full of St. Louis kids,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. That was a fun comment from Dominic Lovett, one of the returning receivers, after one of their open practices earlier in fall camp, was just like, yeah, he loves having all of the St. Louis guys in the receiver room, and
right.
they're excited to, you know, bring all the families and everything, get all the St. Louis people out to support
right.
the Tigers. So I think they have been doing a better job Not you know, as well as they would hope, but
sure,
a better job.
And that's the sort of thing that can steamroll, too. I mean, all you need to do is get one class where you get a bunch of these St. Louis kids in. Then all of a sudden, if those guys get to, you know, you hope then that they have some success.
Sure.
So that then, you know, it kind of becomes a self-propagating thing where you just, you know, this guy wants to follow this guy, wants to follow this guy, wants to follow this guy. So you hope you're set for a while, you know, because all you need is to have maybe one of those two or three high recruits come in and then, you know, leave real early or something because they see greener pasture somewhere else, and all of a sudden you're kind of starting from, you know, zero again. So you kind of hope that not only do they get these kids, but these kids see some success when they get on campus.
Well, yeah, you know, Alabama's not having any problems recruiting out
sure
of Alabama.
Right.
Who doesn't want to go?
Exactly.
Right. So
exactly.
If you turn the program into one where you're winning 10, 11 games a season,
mm-hmm,
yeah, you're going to do a much better job recruiting in state because more kids are going to want to be there representing their home state.
Was there anybody else who stuck out in that terms of that recruiting class? I mean, obviously, Luther is the one that we all kind of know about. It's the one we've all kind of heard, you know, when we heard that they were in on him, that, you know, he made their list of his final schools. You know, we kind of kept hearing about that. That's one that you couldn't avoid, especially when he did sign. You know, there was a big hurrah that went up, I think, across the state. But there's got to be some other people, too, that get you to that point where you have a top 15 class.
I think Luther's probably the one you're going to hear about this year.
Sure.
Right? And, you know, a highly touted freshman quarterback is always going to get some calls if there's some struggles.
Right.
So you might hear a little bit about Sam Horn. There's a couple of offensive and defensive linemen who were pretty highly touted coming
mm-hmm
in, but they may or may not end up being in the rotation at
okay
some point. It's kind of, you know, there's enough depth on the team this year where even a highly touted recruit, you're probably not going to hear too much about them this year.
Yeah, yeah. And then not only do you have, like, recruits, which we kind of, that's the thing you kind of always, but like you mentioned earlier, this transfer portal makes everything kind of a whole new world in terms of, you know, gone are the days where you're like, well, we've got this kid and we got to hope that he matures during his 3 or 4 years and maybe by the time he's a senior, you know, he's a contributor. You're going to hear more and more about, okay, we've got a need, we went out and filled it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like the old free agent process, you know, used to be
absolutely
for the pros where we knew we were this guy away, well, we went and got him. Well, you can kind of do that now a little bit easier than you used to be. So transfers, I think, are going to be another thing that's always kind of at the top of everybody's mind. Like, who do we get in the transfer portal?
Absolutely. And, you know, the Tigers, especially Coach Drinkwitz, has made a point to say he thinks the guys they brought in have really revamped certain positions, you know. One of the main ones being you lost Tyler Beatty, you know,
right,
your leading rusher who accounted for something like 30% of your total yards as
right
a team, and they got two transfers at running back who are going to be, you know, probably the main guys. The Truman State transfer Cody Schrader and Stanford transfer Nathaniel Pete.
I was going to say, that one hurts me. As a Truman State grad, I wanted him to stay at Truman State. I hope for great things for him. I'm glad to see him there. That'd be awesome. But boy, that was a hit for my Bulldogs. I mean that was you talk about a, you know, Beatty being a chunk of Missouri. That was Truman's offense last year.
I think Schrader rushed for like 2,000 yards last year
right
at Truman State. I mean, it looks like he's going to be kind of the main back. He and Pete were switching off carries during the open walkthrough that fans got to go to a couple weeks ago. So it seems like those two are probably going to mostly take over. Another position, you know, the D-line was pretty fully revamped. The way Coach Drinkwitz, you know, explained it to the reporters was he thought that went fully from a position of, you know, absolute need
right
to a position of depth.
Okay.
Just because they brought in like four guys through the transfer portal, one of who, Jaden Jernigan out of Oklahoma State, is probably going to start.
Okay.
The other ones are going to be in the rotation, but, you know, it went from a position where maybe you've got three guys you're confident in
right
to a position where you've got like seven or eight.
Which is, again, that's a position where it always seems like you can go from set to, you know, lacking in a hurry.
Absolutely.
You know, all you need is a couple guys to go down. So if you're going to have a spot where you want to have some depth, I think both lines are obviously the place you always want to start with, because you can kind of move some other guys around in skill positions and maybe teach them a skill to, you know, help you out there. But if you don't have those big guys, all of a sudden you're looking around going, all right, who do we plug in? So depth's huge at that position.
Absolutely. And with the way you rotate on the D-line, you know, having seven or eight guys who you feel confident in, you can have them on the field
right
and you know you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. How much of this do you think, in terms of what we're seeing now, in terms of both, you know, kind of the increased recruiting classes, the ability to go out and fill need for some of this spot, how much of this should we put on, well, maybe they just did well this year and maybe it's kind of a blip, or how much of this is just more Eli's getting his feet underneath him. He's in his now third year at the program. Maybe we're starting to see what this program can be under him. You know, so how much of this is maybe just he's kind of got his system in place and now he's starting to kind of fill in what he needs to make the system work?
I think that's certainly part of it. You know, there's always the idea that it takes a coach, you know, 3-4 years
sure.
until they've got really their team.
Right? Right.
And, you know, like you said, you're going into your third year. This should be kind of the start of your team.
Right.
And I think it's really, you know, showing that he's a good recruiter. He's
right.
good at convincing kids who want to come here, who want to be part of the Missouri program. It seems like that's just going to be a good trend for him and might, you know, continue.
Yeah.
But, again, like we mentioned earlier, it's going to be conditioned on success. If
right.
you stay a 6-6 team every year, it's going to be a lot harder.
I was going to say, you know, he's getting to the point where, too, now, I think sometimes you do get a grace period, especially with the home fans. It's like, okay, well, you know, those first 2 years are definitely washed. Sometimes they'll be patient and give you 3, and then year 4 gets to be real impatient, and mm-hmm. we need to see something from you. But I do feel like he's shown enough, the first 2 at least, in my opinion, to have kind of gotten, you know, the vote of confidence that he needs to get. So, you know, how much pressure do you think he's facing in year 3? Or is this just a matter of, you know, we're going to let him, you know, roll the ball out there and see how things go this year, and then we'll evaluate him at the end?
It seems like this is a year where it's, you know, the pressure isn't immediate. If it's not a good season, he's not on the hot seat.
Right, right.
But, yeah, it seems like this might be we evaluate after this season. And if we continue on the same trend that we've been on for the last few years, then maybe we start thinking about making a change.
Sure. You mentioned, you know, we're not to the point where we are to the SEC part of the schedule yet, obviously, but that's always kind of in the back of your head, is that, you know, yes, this will be an easy one to ease your way into the season, but, you know, that is always kind of sitting in the back of your head where you're going, well, that, you know, the big bad teams, you know, it's going to be quick before, you know, we're not that far away from, okay, you get through La Tech, then you got K-State, then you got Abilene Christian. Then all of a sudden, it takes a whole another step up. So, how nice is it to have maybe 3 games where you can, you know, kind of, you don't hit the ground running? You know, some conferences have it where, you know, oh, you get a non-con and then you play, you know, a conference opponent, and then you got maybe 2 weeks of non-cons or something. It's kind of nice that you get all those non-conference opponents loaded in the front end, so you can kind of, not that I'm saying any of those teams may be easy, but it's not, you're not jumping into the SEC with both feet right away.
Well, I think you definitely need at least that first game or two where you're still really figuring out who's going to fit in at what spot.
Sure.
You're seeing who's going to work in game action in a way they didn't in practice, maybe.
Right.
And, you know, having a La Tech to start the season can be really helpful, but, you know, Kansas State's no pushover.
Right.
That's not going to be a cakewalk.
Right.
Abilene Christian is another one of those games where it's like, yeah, you should win this, and you
sure.
should win by 30.
Right.
Right. And get the chance to kind of look at your backups and see them in the game, and look at
right.
your third string and see them in the game. So getting a couple of those in before the SEC schedule really gets started up is huge, I think. And there is one later in the season. I think it's Arkansas State.
Yes.
And I feel like
New Mexico State.
New Mexico State. My bad. Having a New Mexico State later, just to split up, you know, you've been
right.
facing tough SEC
sure.
opponents for 5 or 6 weeks, and it's like, okay, now we get
right.
get one where it's like, all right, we should have this one. I think
right.
that's probably pretty big, too. You don't see that one quite as often.
Yeah. As I get older, I tend to put even less and less stock in preseason polls than I ever used to. I think, especially, like we mentioned, with the transfer portal, it becomes so hard to see. You know, you don't have that stockpile of talent, so maybe somebody you thought was super deep from the previous year and what they bring back. I think everybody's almost rebuilding, with the exception of your Alabamas and maybe of the come lately or teams, the Georgia, some of those like that, the Clemsons. You do seem like most teams are kind of starting fresh more so than they used to. So I really haven't paid much attention to, you know, the preseason polls or where the Tigers have been kind of picked. But what's kind of the general consensus going in the season for how they're looking in terms of what people expect them to do in the SEC?
I think the expectation is definitely a step forward. You know, the last 3 years have all been 500 regular seasons.
Right,
like
right.
last year, 6-6 regular season. 2020 was 5-5 because of COVID games.
Right.
The year before was 6-6. You know, you can't just sit around that all the time. And I think it's expected that there will be a step forward. But, of course, the SEC is incredibly tough. They're not expected to go out and win 10 games this
year. But well, and it's interesting that you say that, too, because, I think, obviously, yes, you don't want to be just always around that. But I think, you know, it is easy to say as a fan base, we don't expect them to go 500 in the SEC every year. But I think, and we'll find out more as we get to more and more conference realignment, because I don't think we're done by any stretch of the imagination. But I think if you polled a lot of teams that either have gone to the SEC recently or might be going to the SEC recently, if you said to their fan base, hey, would you be fine with going 500 in the SEC every year? I think a lot of fan bases, if they were being honest, would say, yeah, we probably would. Because, again, that's no easy feat. Now, yes, you always want to strive to be better. You want to strive for, 500 most years, and then have outlier years where you're much better than that.
Your Auburn year.
Exactly. Where you kind of, do something magical. You kind of catch lightning in a bottle. You hope for the best. So I think if we're being honest, maybe if you say to, Missouri fans, hey, would you be fine with another 500 SEC season? I think most of them would say no, but I also think it's not that, irrational to think that you should probably be fine with that, too, because that's a good starting point. Now, you got to do a better job, I think, of winning those 50-50 games that maybe, you've had in the past that maybe you haven't been able to kind of take a, 6-6 season and make it an 8-4, 9-3 season. That's the thing where I think that will be interesting to see how that plays out this year from that standpoint.
And I think 8-4 would be a pretty good outcome for the Tigers this year. I think the fans would be pretty happy with that. Coach Trinkwitz obviously probably wants more, but I think, looking back on it, 8-4 would look like a good season, especially a year where you've got to play Georgia at home, which, come on out, Missouri fans, because you're going to get to watch one of the best teams in the country.
Exactly.
But you're probably going to get to watch them steamroll your team.
Absolutely. I guess, we've talked about a lot of things. I would be remiss, though, if we didn't mention, we got a new defensive coordinator this year, too. It's easy to focus on, you've got new players coming in, and that's always going to be kind of the thing that you focus on. But I do think, too, when you have either a new head coach or new coordinators at key spots like offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, it's always going to be interesting to see how everything meshes in terms of that, both in terms of the coach being able to come in and instill his system and also get the players that he needs to run said system. So, how do things shape up for the Tigers in terms of how we're looking on that front?
So, the new D coordinator, his name is Blake Baker. He was brought in as the safeties coach in January and then immediately got promoted to D coordinator in February.
Right.
The defense last year looked better by the end of the year. It was kind of a development process throughout the season, but ended up giving up about 34 points a game throughout the season, about 36 to SEC opponents. So, honestly, not that much worse against SEC opponents because of that improvement late in the season.
Sure.
So, the system's going to look relatively similar. There's a couple of, the terminology's a bit different. There's going to be kind of a hybrid corner linebacker that's going to be in on the most plays that they call the star position.
Okay.
More involved in the run than a usual corner, but still will be in coverage kind of as a nickel, a slot corner. But for the most part, the system's going to look the same. They've got a lot of returning players, especially in the secondary, and it should be a better overall defense than it was last year.
Okay. Well, I guess that then leads us into the prediction point of the podcast. I think I probably know which direction you're leaning. I'd be stunned if you picked Louisiana Tech in an upset this week. But how do you see things playing out in week one of the season for the Tigers?
I think, there's going to be some moments where Missouri fans aren't real happy with how a play looked or how a sequence looked or something.
Sure.
But, yeah, I would be shocked if Louisiana Tech comes out with this one. So I'll say Missouri wins 45-27.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey. That's MCAREAVY. Thanks for listening.